Do you know that there's a time in which you have to just stop praying and just take action?
And now for Vihina Unequally Yoked.
Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. So, my topic tonight is, be he not unequally yoked. Be he not unequally yoked. And the definition that I can honestly say I did not come up with is to be in covenant with someone who is not in covenant with God. I've never heard that before. I didn't read it anywhere. I didn't study it anywhere. To be in covenant with someone who is not in covenant with God, unequally yoked. It's all about God. It's not about finance, social status. It's all about your relationship, my relationship with God, and whether or not we are going to be committed to follow through with that which God would have us to do. And so the central verse would be 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 14 through 19, which says that, be he not unequally yoked. Be he not unequally yoked. But the Old Testament is the ground, the soil, if you will, in which the New Testament came forth or came from. So for us to understand even the concept of what it is to be unequally yoked, we'd have to go back to the Old Testament and look at the examples that are presented in the Old Testament for us to clearly understand what the biblical definition and understanding and historical meaning of unequally yoked, what it is. You got to go back to the Old Testament and establish that premise. So let me take you back, journey with me back to the book of Ezra. Now, Ezra is written after the Israelite captivity. They spend 70 years in captivity. And part of the reasons why they went into captivity is because they turn away from their God. And part of their turning is that they turn to foreign women. And they turn to the pagan practice of the people of the land. And the people of the land and what they did turn their hearts away from God. But way before Ezra, in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 7, which we shall look at, God instructed them that, look, when you get to the land, do not marry any of the people within the land. And the reason given is not because of your social status. It's not because I'm trying to preserve a pure race, because that's some of the myth that has been set forth as to why we should not intermarry, because God is preserving a pure race. It is not so. So what's the reason? So here in the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 10, Ezra prayed. They came to Ezra in chapter 9 and told Ezra that the people who have returned from the captivity, they are brought with them foreign wives, and the wives had children. And so Ezra consecrated himself and he prayed and he confessed. He actually took responsibility for all the sinful acts of the people. He said that we have sinned against you. And so in chapter 10, he was still there praying. And a brother came up to him and said, look, you need to stop praying and take action. Do you know that there's a time in which you have to just stop praying and just take action? It says that in chapter 10, now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation. Ezra chapter 10 and verse 1, and of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And that name there, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that trembled at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, get up, for this matter belongeth unto thee. You are the leader. You are the leader. You got to take charge of this situation because you are aware of it. So what now are you going to do about it? But when you journey back in chapter 10, what caused Ezra to come to this conclusion that the people had sinned? It says in chapter 9, "Now when these things were done, the princes have came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated." There is that word, separated. The root word for sanctification is agios in Greek, and it means to be separated. It does not necessarily mean that the thing within itself is holy. It's just when something is separated unto God. It's for God's purpose and God's pleasure only. So that thing becomes holy, not intrinsically holy, but because it is separated for the purpose of God's use. So the people did not separate themselves according to God's plan, according to what God told them. Now, when you go to verse 2, it says, "For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yet the hand of the princes and the rulers have been chief in this trespass." Now, some people key in on that word, that phrase, the holy seed. For they have taken of the daughters of themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled. So they take that as a way of saying that God was preserving a holy seed. God was preserving a pure blood. And God did not want to pollute the bloodline. So therefore God told them not to intermarry. And some people are even advocating that theory today by pushing genetics and pushing genes and saying that this race is a pure race. There's no such thing in the Bible. That's almost demonic. That's almost satanic. Because when you go to Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, it says that we all came from one blood, from one person. We originated from one person. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. It also says that God determines the place and the boundaries where you would be born. But we came from one blood. So if we came from one blood, which is Adam, it's pointing back to Adam. It means that everybody is contaminated with Adam's blood. There was no filter stream set in place whereby certain blood was filtered out from the pollution that Adam brought to the human race. So therefore, that's a myth. And it's very, very dangerous for anyone to advocate such a viewpoint. Because what it does is set up racism. Whether it's Asian, American, black, it doesn't matter. This is not biblical. The Bible does not teach that. And then why did he tell them to stay away, don't intermarry? Is it because he wanted to preserve them, a pure race? Not at all. If you go back to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says this. It starts out by saying, chapter 6 and verse 2, I think, it says that you should love. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandment." So the way you demonstrate your love to God is by keeping his commandment. So what are his specific commandments that are given? Now, if you go now to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verses 1, he says, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before the Hittites, and he gives the nations that will be cast out. When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his sons, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly." So that's the reason that is given, that these people, they are practicing things that are contrary to God. In fact, they were even sacrificing their children to their gods in the fire. And the kings of Israel did that as well. Now, a prime example that is set forth in the Bible of somebody's heart being turned away from God was the wisest man ever to live, So we say, and that was Solomon. Now, if you go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 11. So the instruction, the command, the warning is given here early before they even ventured into the land that you should not do these things because they're going to turn your heart away from your God. So therefore, do not get into covenant. Do not be unequally yoked. So when you go to 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1 says this, but King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and so forth and so on, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these love, and listen to the brother now, and he had 700 wives. My goodness, what's wrong with you, man? 700. You can't imagine the conflict in that household. 700 women. Okay, all right, so we'll leave that. Princes and 300 concubines. And his wife turned his heart away. I read that. And his wife turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wife turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, as was the heart of his father David. So the prohibition that is given is that if you do this, chances are if you become yoked with someone who is not in covenant with me, your God, they are going to turn your heart away from me. So it's not because I'm against interracial marriage why I'm saying this. It's not because I think that your race is superior or above other race why I'm saying this. I'm saying this based on moral reason and moral ground. I want to have a relationship with you and I want to preserve that relationship throughout. And that's why I'm instructing you not to do these things. Now, God also told them in Deuteronomy chapter 9 that look, to also dispel the myth that it's because you want to preserve a pure race because of their holiness and their righteousness. God says, look, don't even brag about when I take you into the land, don't even brag about your righteousness. Don't even talk, don't even mention your righteousness because you are a stiff-necked people. I'm not bringing you into the land because of your righteousness. I'm bringing you into the land because I made a covenant with your fathers. And God basically tell him, if it was up to me, I would just destroy all of you. So you cannot come today now and build a theology based on pure race because there's no such thing. So God told him not to be unequally yoked, not to preserve a pure race because it's not true. It's a myth. It's a lie. It's a deception. And to further validate this point, in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 12, when they were celebrating the Passover, God, as it were, planted a seed that later germinated and grew into a tree, where God set the stage for people to be converted over into the Jewish faith. They were called proselytes in the New Testament. So if you go to Exodus chapter 12, I think verses 40 through 43, it says this. Exodus chapter 12. It talks about when a stranger comes into your land. It was discussing the Passover, how the Passover shall be celebrated. It says, verse 45 of Exodus chapter 12, a foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. Speaking of the Passover, a foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one hour shall it be eaten, thou shalt not carry forth out the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover. Now, if you go back to verse 45, it would suggest that God is saying explicitly that no stranger should ever partake of the Passover. And the Passover is somewhat symbolic of what we call today the Lord's Supper. That's another subject matter. But if you read verse 45 alone, it would seem as though God is suggesting that only the Israelites should partake of the Passover and no other nation. But when you read on further, it says, 48, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourn among them. So when that person is circumcised, that person become as one that is born in the land, because that person is now a convert. So you see, Judaism is not a race, it's a religion. You can be converted over into it. And as I said, this was the soil from which the New Testament Christianity was born. So you have to go back and understand what is being said about what it means not to be unequally yoked. Let me further explain it. God told them not to marry foreign women, but it would seem to be a contradiction on its face. Because when you go to the book of Ruth, Naomi was an Israelite. Ruth was a Moabite. She was not of Israel. And in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 14, Naomi told her to go back to her land. And she said, I am not going back. And in chapter 1 and verse 15, Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee or from falling after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. For your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. So she made a confession of faith and accepted Israel God. And Ruth later married to a guy named Boaz. But do you know who was the mother of Boaz? Now, if you jump back over to Joshua chapter 2, when the spies went to spy out the land, there was a lady there by the name of Rahab, and she was not a beloved person, to put it mildly. Right, so not the kind of person you want to hire as a babysitter, right? But when the spies came in, she made a confession. She said, I know that the God of heaven, he has given you this land, and I believe that he is the true and living God. And she made a confession of faith. Right there, she accepted that the God of Israel, she was converted. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 1, I just want to show you that God is not against people coming into the Israelite race and getting married. Matthew chapter 1 says, speaking of the genealogy of Christ, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. And when you go to verse 5, it says this, and Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab, the harlot. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, the Moabite. So included in the genealogy of Jesus Christ are pagan people that we consider pagan people. The very people God told them not to marry. But you see, it was conditional. If they refused to repent and turn to him, then you should not marry them. But if they repent and turn to me, then it's okay because they are a convert. Now, fast forward to the New Testament. God called them a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. In the New Testament, God says the same thing of the church. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 6 says that the church is a holy nation, is a holy priesthood. The same thing is stated in Exodus chapter 19, that Israel is a holy nation, and it carries over. Also in the New Testament, why are we advocating not being unequally yoked? It's because of a command that is given equally to us as Christians in the New Testament as it was given to the Old Testament saints. Same John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said that, if you love me, keep my commandment. Now, how do we keep it? Jesus says, Paul explaining what Christ has done for us in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says that God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his son, is their son, Jesus Christ. So we I've been taken from darkness into light. And you go also to 1 John chapter 1. It says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. It says that if you say that you are abiding in light, and you do not follow God, you are lying to yourself, because God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And he that abideth in darkness, and say that he has fellowship with God, koinonia, meaning to have things in common with God, you make yourself a liar. So therefore, even as God delivered them out of the Egyptian captivity, out of darkness, make of them a nation, and call them to love him, Jesus Christ is doing the same thing to the church today. He's saying that you're a holy people, you must be separated. And the way you prove your love for me is to be separated. And part of separation is that you cannot yoke up with people who don't love me, because they're going to turn your heart from me. It's not that I have anything against anyone. It's not that you are better than anyone. It's not because you are superior to anyone. It's not because you are more holy than anyone. It's because of the fact that I have commanded you not to do that. Because even as it turns Solomon's heart away from his God, it can and will turn your heart away from me. And I don't want that to happen. So the injunction is given in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 through 19. Be ye not unequally yoked. In other words, do not enter into covenant with someone who is not in covenant with me. I have given everyone the opportunity to enter into covenant with me. If they love me, they will enter into covenant with me. But the fact that they do not want to enter into covenant with me shows that they do not love me, and you cannot commit yourself to somebody that doesn't love me. Thank you for joining us at Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was the message titled Be He Not Unequally Yoked by Glendon Francis. This message is number 6571. That's 6571. Listen to thousands of free messages, or to send this message number 6571 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because brother, you need the word.
From Brothers of